Hi, I'm David Faddis, and this talk is about fallacies of ambiguity. These errors occur with ambiguous words or phrases, the meanings of which shift and change in the course of discussion. Ambiguity means something can go more than one way. It can have a couple of different meanings. And in a fallacy, you use one meaning in this part of the argument, but then the meaning shifts, and you use a different meaning of the same word or phrase in a different part of the argument. Why are fire engines red? They have four wheels and eight firefighters. 4 plus 8 is 12. There are 12 inches in a foot. 1 foot is a ruler. A ruler was Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth was a ship that sailed the seas. The seas have fish. The fish have fins. Fins hate Russians, and Russians are red. Fire engines are always Russian, so fire engines are red. That was obvious and clear reasoning, wasn't it? Equivocation is a fallacy that uses a word in a different way than the author used it in the original premise, or changing definitions halfway through a discussion. When we use the same word or phrase in different senses within one line of argument, we commit the fallacy of equivocation. Here are a couple of examples. The Bible teaches election. Election is voting for leaders. Therefore, the Bible teaches the importance of voting for our leaders. Well, actually, when the Bible teaches election, it is teaching the doctrine of God's choice of persons for His purposes or for salvation. And that meaning of election is quite different from our more common meaning of election as voting for leaders. And to say that the Bible teaches voting for your leaders because the Bible contains the doctrine of election is equivocating on the word election. Another example. The Bible says that we are saved by grace. Grace is having good manners and dignity. Therefore, the Bible teaches that we are saved by good manners and dignity. You see the equivocation on the word grace. In the Bible, grace is God's undeserved favor to sinful people. But sometimes people use the word grace nowadays to mean good manners and dignity. And if you're using an argument that says, hey, the Bible says we're saved by grace, and then you shift the meaning from what the Bible means by grace to the way we currently use that word, then you're going to get a false conclusion when you say the Bible teaches that we're saved by good manners and dignity. Amphiboly is somewhat like equivocation, except it's dealing more with the grammar than with the meaning of individual words. Statements with ambiguous grammar can mean different things. A fallacy occurs when a statement is misunderstood and then used to draw an inference. Groucho Marx said, "One morning I shot an elephant in my pajamas." How he got into my pajamas, I'll never know. You see, the phrasing is such that you could mean the elephant had the pajamas on, even though Groucho is the guy that probably had the pajamas on when he shot the elephant. Sometimes you get bulletin bloopers. Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. Well, does that mean let the church help you, or does that mean let the church help kill you? So words or the way things are phrased can have different meanings. There are a couple more examples of amphiboly. To take care of creation, we should save soap and waste paper. Therefore, you should try harder to waste more paper. Well, again, it depends kind of how you pronounce that. To take care of creation, we should save soap and waste paper. So we want to save soap and waste paper. Waste paper is the paper that you throw away. But it could also be taken to mean as the verb, you want to waste more paper. And therefore, you should try harder to waste more paper. There's different meanings of that grammar. Holy angels and demons are powerful. Therefore, we should be thankful for the holy demons as well as the holy angels. You say, well, there are no such things as holy demons. But when it's phrased a certain way, you say holy angels and demons, you could apply the word holy to just angels, or you might apply it to mean holy angels and holy demons. Just like we might say funny boys and girls, you might mean that only the boys are funny and the girls aren't, but you also might mean that both the boys and the girls are funny. Holy angels and demons, what's that mean? Does it mean only the holy angels and the demons don't get that adjective holy applied to them? Well, amphiboly will take the wrong meaning and draw a wrong conclusion. Because if you know context, you know that the word holy applies only to the angels. If you didn't know the context, you might think that holy also applied to demons. Another fallacy is composition. That's inferring that something that's true of a part must be true of the whole. Here are some examples. A grain of sand weighs very little. So this truckload of sand weighs almost nothing. Now, a grain of sand does weigh very little. And so that's a part of the truckload. But if you infer that the truckload has the same quality as the grain, you would be making a false inference. Another, atoms are not alive. Therefore, anything made up of atoms is not alive. Physicists don't consider atoms to be living things, and yet all living things are made out of atoms. So something that's true of the part is not true of the whole. Another example, each church in a denomination is unified. Therefore, the denomination is unified. But what if one church in the denomination is unified around one set of ideas and practices, and another church in the denomination is unified around an entirely different set of practices? Let's say a denomination has one church that favors same-sex marriage, and all the people there believe in it, and they're unified around it. And another church in the denomination opposes same-sex marriage, and everybody in the congregation is agreed on in opposing that. Well, the two churches might be unified, but they're not unified with each other. And you could multiply all sorts of examples. A church that's unified in supporting Christian education, and another church really is in favor of public schools and their children going to the public schools, they might all be agreed on within their congregation, but not in agreement with each other. So you see the fallacy of composition. Just because something can be said about one part does not mean that it can be said about the whole. The fallacy of division kind of works in the opposite direction. That's reasoning that what's true of the whole must also be true of the individual parts. For instance, each church has all the spiritual gifts that are needed. Those are supplied by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, each member has all the spiritual gifts that are needed. Well, the church as a whole might have a variety of gifts, all of which contribute to the life of the church and supply each member what they need, but that does not mean each member individually has all the spiritual gifts just because the whole church does. Another fallacy of division. Jesus came to save the world. Therefore, every individual in the world will be saved. Well, just because he came to save the world as a whole does not mean that every individual in that world is saved. That's the fallacy of division, assuming that what's true of the whole, when God redeems his whole creation, that means that he's going to redeem every individual part of that creation as well. The Bible often speaks of God redeeming the whole creation or of Jesus saving the world, and it also often speaks of individuals within that world being lost and not having a share in that salvation. And it's the fallacy of division to take a statement about the whole and then insist that it's true of every part within that whole. Reification is a fallacy in which you treat an idea or an abstraction like a concrete thing. For example, past generations fought Hitler and other enemies and won. Therefore, we must fight today's enemy, poverty, and win. Now, Hitler was a real man, and the Germans had a real army. And fighting them was quite a different thing than taking something abstract like poverty and deciding that you can win against that. Now, I'm not saying poverty isn't real in a certain sense, but it's not real in the same way that Hitler and his armies were real. You could shoot at them, you could try to conquer them, and poverty is quite a different thing. Or another example of reification, Mother Nature knows how to fight back. Therefore, don't mess with Mother Nature, or she will punish you. Well, Mother Nature is not some sort of vengeful female person who gets offended by you and then punches back if you offend her. This might just be, of course, a figurative way of saying, hey, mess up the earth or pollute the earth, or you're probably going to pay a price, because if you ruin your own environment, how are you going to live? So it can be a figurative way of saying that, but when you start talking as though Mother Nature is itself a living thing that takes offense and gets angry and upset and comes after you if you're not behaving properly, then that's reification, taking an idea or an abstraction like nature as a whole and turning it into a person. So those are some of the fallacies of multiple meanings or equivocation that we want to avoid, and we need to be able to understand then how we use our words, understand when we're speaking figuratively, but be very careful not to use double meanings and use one meaning here, another, shift the meaning over there, and then reach a conclusion that simply does not follow.